now approaching. Junction at platform. Passengers, airport, please stay on board. Next stop, road station.
iOS helps you control which apps you share your exact location with. There's more to iPhone.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, everybody. Speaking to you from Rotorua, or Stuart Bans tells me, Rota Vegas. Why is that, Bansy?
It's a glamorous place, and everyone from New Zealand wants to come here, just as all Americans like to go to Vegas and live the dream.
There's parts of Rotorua I obviously haven't seen yet, then. It's a smelly old town, but I quite like it. Welcome to The Ruck, Times Sunday Times bi-weekly podcast. The tour is getting to boiling point. We've actually got a squad of four. I'm joined today by Stuart Barnes. If only you could see him, because he's just been to the Polynesian Spa and he's still encased in volcanic mud. It's an absolutely amazing sight. Owen Slott, the rugby correspondent of The Times, and Peter O'Reilly, a recent arrival, the Arriviste journalist. Welcome, Pete. Did you have a good journey?
I did. Thank you very much, Steve. I got hold of some Viper tablets, those caffeine tablets that the Welsh rugby players like to pedal around the place, so I'm feeling okay, thanks. Yeah,
you look absolutely fantastic, honestly. Slotty, what's your day been today, and what's your highlight of the week?
I bought two new pairs of pants in Christchurch Airport yesterday. That was good.
Yeah. Good colour.
Yeah, that was exciting. I stopped and admired the bra hang-up on the seafront in Dunedin, St Clair, yesterday. I wasn't quite sure if that was in tribute to the British media and the sadness that they were leaving. And we've got new batteries for the podcast, which is pretty exciting. I mean, that's a major moment in the history of this podcast.
You're only jealous because I'm a techie and you're not. Team to play the Maoris, a huge game, and frighteningly, only the last Saturday game before the Test match. If you hadn't heard it, it's Lee Halfpenny, Anthony Watson, Jonathan Davis, Ben Teo, George North, Johnny Sexton, fly half, Connor Murray, Mako Vunipola, Jamie George. How do you spell Mr. Furlong's? How do you pronounce Mr. Furlong?
Tig. Just take the off the end of Tiger.
Okay. Tig Furlong. He's from Ireland, you know. Maro Itoji, George Cruz, Peter O'Mahony, who's the captain, Sean O'Brien, and Toby Faletau. Stuart, suddenly we're talking test team or likely test team. This has happened incredibly quickly. In fact, I get the impression that they still haven't completely pooled the evidence on every player.
Well, the good thing about having 41 blokes is that you can mix and match and you keep your players fresh. The bad news is that an awful lot of players just haven't had enough games, I don't think. I was interviewing Connor Murray earlier in the day, and I just said, Connor, apart from that one game against the Crusaders, have you sat on the bench? And he hadn't. So we're getting to the fifth game of the tour, and Connor Murray is making his second start, and he hasn't had any more involvement. Now, he's on the plus side because he played really well. So, you know, he looks like he's in the test team. But you look at people like Daly, who's done nothing wrong, but he just hasn't had enough game time, and it's so difficult. And so how do you evaluate on form? The bottom line in the end is, on these tours, you don't. You talk about form, you pick the team, by and large, that you had in your mind when you left England.
Just before I go on to Peter, Owen, podcasting is a three-man starting team.
It's an art.
It's an art, but we've got Peter in, and has it become now, a podcasting become a four-man team with the replacement as important as the starters?
Impact.
Well, it is like a Lions tour, isn't it? You get one chance. You either grab it or you don't, and you could become a midweeker or a Sunday writer, whichever way you want to look at it. But Peter, how do you feel about your debut?
I'm pretty happy so far. You know, I didn't expect to get on so early. But you know, it's the nature of the Lions tour is that you take your opportunity when it comes along.
Now we are four, as they almost said in The Magnificent Seven. Pete, how's it look to you on the television? Has it seemed a bit of a rush? Are they justified in thinking they've got enough evidence, or are they still in some positions, desperately looking for something to happen against the Maori.
I still think they're looking for evidence in certain positions. If you just look at from the top down, if you take it from 15 down, I'm not convinced they know what their selection is going to be at 15. The impression I had from Tuesday, although I didn't actually see the game live, was that Jarrad Payne didn't quite do enough to nail it. I don't know.
Nowhere near.
Yeah. And Lee Halfpenny has an opportunity, I think, to get on the test team, which none of us really saw happening at the start of the tour. I certainly didn't, anyhow. But then you have some guys who are just fortunate, and Warren Gatland talked about it today at the press conference, about if you're lucky enough to find yourself in a combination that works, as it did in the back row, for example, in the Crusaders game, you can very quickly find yourself in a test team, which could very well happen now for O'Mahony and O'Brien, for example.
OK, Owen, we're talking about people who had the chance to prove themselves and those who didn't. Now, Anthony Watson last week is notably a kind of erratic player, but last week he suddenly started steaming through, making long runs against a really good team. The only trouble is that when he got near the touchline, the try line, he seemed to go back and revert to being erratic. Now, is he a guy, if he'd had two more games, could have been the test fullback?
Yeah, he's a player who needs time to feel confident and establish himself. This goes all the way back to his England debut. Stuart Lancaster brought him and Jack Nowell out of the under-20s together. He had a look at them both. He thought, Jack Nowell, he's a confident personality, I'm happy with him. He looked at Anthony Watson and said, no, he needs more time. And I think we've seen the same here. I think he's stepped up a level into this international environment, and he's finding his feet. It wasn't the player at his best who decided to pass when he could have stepped his rail dag. We spoke to him today and we said, what happened there? And he says, I don't know. Immediately, I knew I should have gone with it and backed myself. So yes, you're right. He needs more time, and he's got a chance to prove it.
I was going to say, but it's a classic thing. I've been in international squads when youngsters come in who are brilliant, and the old lags say, yeah, he's not got much confidence. We'll need him in the team. Keep him out. Jack Nowell doesn't have a quarter of Anthony Watson's class. And he got into the England squad because he was a bustler and a busy sort of player. And that was the Lancaster regime. Watson's always had the class. And frankly, you know, it's up to coaches. It's up to Rob Howley and Warren Gatland to get him right and to do that. And I see no reason why why Watson cannot be a contender. Time is against him, but the Lions do not win this series without taking risks. It's true that on a one-on-one he blew it, but Lee Halfpenny ain't going to get in that one-on-one situation. New Zealand can kick the ball away with gay aplomb because there's no pressure. Watson, if he gets it right, is going to hurt them, just as someone like Ben Smith will hurt the Lions if we kick badly.
Peter, can I ask you about Peter O'Mahony, made captain? I think one or two things are going to happen on this tour. Either he would just prove to be a Munster banger, or actually would step up and become a true Lion. Now, as a Leinster man and Dublin man yourself, from the middle classes, could you comment on a Munster working class guy like O'Malley? No, seriously, he played magnificently last week, and captain this week. Looks like this guy's on the rise to fulfil himself.
Well, my bourgeois take on this, Steve, is that, well, it's interesting. Just, we were talking to O'Mahony earlier on, and somebody put it to him that it was quite a fairy tale that he was involved in, given that, you know, he didn't play a test between, say, October 15 and November 2016. He's on the bench going into the England game at the end of the Six Nations. Suddenly, Heaslip pulls a hammer. He gets in, man of the match. And here he is. And the interesting thing was that the hard-nosed Munsterman that he is didn't like the word fairy tale, I think because he thought it had certain old-fashioned connotations. He said it was a product of work, but I think it's also a product of good luck, because he's had a lot of bad luck with injuries. And then suddenly you come on tour and you find guys like, well, first of all, Billy Vilnipola didn't make it, so that kind of took Toby Fallisau out of the number six equation. Then Ross Moriarty gets injured. He's out of the equation for the moment. And then Mauro Itoje apparently isn't being seen as a number six. So O'Mahony sees his opportunity, takes it. And we do think that we do need a line-out option at six. And he is definitely something that's something that has impressed Gatland, judging by what he said today.
a fair comment for a man with a huge house. We all get terribly panicky in on Lions tours. It's happened on everyone when the captain is in danger of losing his place. It's almost like the Buckingham Palace has fallen over or the Seven Bridges collapse or something like that. Now, if there are players playing well and if the captain's not playing very well, well, he's got to be changed. What's your view on Sam Warburton? Sean O'Brien surely is one great game away from playing in the Test match.
I don't think Warburton should play in the Test match. I think he'll get 15-20 minutes and that won't be enough for me to prove his rightfulness to play in that position unless O'Brien has a bad day. I think we make a lot of this. The management have actually done this pretty well. They've talked their way to this position from the start, saying that it might happen this way. Sam Warburton addressed it during the week and said, I might not play in the first Test, I might not be ready. And Gatland actually said today that one of the reasons he selected Warburton as the tour captain is because he saw in him the sort of personality that could handle the issue if he wasn't actually in the Test team. So some tour captains wouldn't be able to do that, but Warburton has the personality to cope with it.
I think that's slightly a rewriting of history from Warren. He really wanted Sam to be his number seven. He's always stuck by him. But I think, as you say there, Slotty, management have handled this really well. It's been a slow drip effect, sort of letting us know this is not going to be some sort of sensational shock that the Lions captain might not be there. And frankly, you know, 4 years ago, if Sean O'Brien had played in the second Test in Melbourne when Sam Warburton was man of the match, the Lions would have been home and hosed after two Tests. To beat the All Blacks, you have to get the front foot. You don't have to be making tackles and winning turnovers, because if you make tackles and win turnovers, it's just a matter of when you crack.
And as Owen and I said on the last episode of The Ruck, Sam needs to be in his head absolutely 100%. I think if he's got this thing that if he hasn't done it exactly how he sees it, he just doesn't feel like it. Not doesn't feel like it, but doesn't feel right. So, Peter, Sean O'Brien's had a career, vastly popular player, but had a career hit by injury. Is this his time? Is this his week? Is this his series?
Certainly the faith in O'Brien within the Ireland camp is enormous. There are certain perceptions about him, things that he supposedly can't do, which I think are unkind to him. I think, for example, the idea that he can't poach or steal ball as well as Warburton is kind of unfair. He might not get the number of steals that other flankers get, but he does slow a lot of ball down and he is immovable over the ball. He also has enough gas to play at seven, as we saw him chasing back there the other day against the Crusaders. And he hurts teams. I know that he's rated down here, and then the Kiwis don't really think that positively of that many Northern Hemisphere players, but I know from that Joe Schmidt sees him as somebody who's respected in New Zealand, and he's on his second tour, so he's another. I think that Gatland is going to try and get as many Lions heavyweights as he can on the pitch next week, and O'Brien has that in his locker.
It's interesting you mention the lack of respect for Lions players, but Angus McLochness of the New Zealand media this week apparently doesn't rate any of the Lions players at all. Vanti, you're a man who slowed down a lot of ball, especially when you were carrying it. I don't mean that, okay? Ben Teo, we don't know enough about him, but he looks like he is going to play. Robbie Henshaw was going to be the king of the tour, but really struggled badly twice. Are we going to check in a guy that we don't know much about? We certainly don't think he's British or Irish, but is it a gamble?
I'm very worried about it. I mean, the first game you can write off because it was against a bunch of semi-professionals. Next game up, he played pretty well, but hey, you know, he's the flavour of the month, so when he throws the most ridiculous two-on-one pass for a try, nobody says anything. It's like, oh, that's all right, it didn't happen. I haven't seen him pass a ball. He can offload, but you can't pick narrow angles. Jonathan Davis can't come in on the line every single time. And it's a huge gamble. He's a bloke who's come off the bench for England and done really well as an impact player. He's a bloke who hasn't done that much for Worcester. Then you're saying, right, go out and sort out Sonny Bill Williams. And for that reason, I still have this feeling if Sexton had a big game, that Sexton-Farrell thing could happen. I think he's played well, I think he's done well, but suddenly, as is always the case within our media, we've got to find someone to hang all our hopes upon. It's Ben Teoh, and he just doesn't have the CV to do that. He might be a genius, but I haven't seen it.
This is what I was talking about earlier on about Lions heavyweights, guys who've won big test matches. If you look, I looked up on Scrum earlier on to see about Ben Teoh's test experience. 8 tests, 1 start. To go in against the All Blacks?
The start was against Italy, wasn't it?
Of course, there is the great precedent of bringing in rugby league players like Sam Burgess, who was a massive success, so maybe Teoh will go along those lines. Owen, we've heard a lot this week about hackers, the Maori mana, how proud they are to play for their families. And all.
VoiceOver describes what's happening on your iPhone screen.
VoiceOver on, settings.
So you can navigate it just by listening.
Books, contacts, calendar, double tap to open. Breakfast with Anna from 10 to 11.
And get on with your day. Accessibility. There's more to iPhone.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Well, actually, the Lions have an aura. They have a red jersey. They have an aura. They have a history. And actually, the indigenous populations of British of Brits and Irish are the Brits and Irish. So why should they be more passionate than the Lions? And are you looking for the Lions to come out with a bit more passion, a bit more zip, and a bit more power than they did against the Highlanders in Dunedin, where I think we all found them bitterly disappointing?
Yeah, in Dunedin, we didn't see a team that reflected everything that you just mentioned. There hasn't been a Lion who hasn't mentioned so far what an honour it is and how you want to pass the shirt on to the next man in a better place. And I don't think on Tuesday that many players did that. On Tuesday, we saw too many players go backwards. Well, the thing that shocked me about Tuesday was, there are few opportunities. That's the cliche, but it's true. There are few opportunities on a Lions tour to stake your claim, and so few of them did. You have your chance, and too many of them blew it. And I couldn't quite work out why it was so common across the board.
So, excuse me, sir. I wouldn't go for that 10-12 combination that you said. Actually, I would have done, and I won't now. But you're talking about people didn't prove themselves, Owen. I think that. The savagery of the itinerary has really knackered a lot of people. That game where they played after 3 days preparation, they had to play a game against a testing side. I think that's just a lot of people's Lions tours ended there and then. It should never happen again. Should never happen in the first place. And I still feel that there's a great rush here, and that however calm Warren and Andy Farrell and these guys look, and Sam and etc., there's a massive rush going on, and it's like the duck paddling like mad below the surface. Anyway, Stuart.
There are exceptions to that, though, aren't there? I mean, so for me, one of the highlights of Tuesday's game was Ian Henderson, who was terrible in that first game. I mean, he was appalling. I mean, you've seen him, Peter, so often, and it was just unrecognisable. And then he comes out against the Highlanders, and for me, he was the man of the match. I thought it was wonderful, and he did everything that we've been talking about. He grabbed his opportunity, he honoured the shirt, and he's been rewarded by being picked on the bench on Saturday.
Always like a bit of controversy, but I thought he was terrible. I thought he was carrying poundage, and I thought he was soft, as did others. But there we go.
Come on,
Stuart.
Come
Ian
on,
Henderson.
Peter.
Well,
I thought stop talking rubbish like Slotty, but go on.
I thought Henderson did better, but I just want to pick up on something we were talking about just now about.
Is as long as it's controversial.
Yeah, listen. The Lions were something that mattered a great deal. There are players for whom it does. There are others for whom it's a lot of money, and it's a brand. You said the Maori. The Maori, why do they have all this history and the Lions, they have their own. Why can't we match it? I was at a Maori press conference today. It was by a thermal village. It stank of sulfur and everybody there, they meant it. You know, sometimes you look in someone's eye and it means it. You know, the Maoris, they've had an interesting checkered history. They've been given a right old walloping in the past by white people, and they care. They really care. And for them, the Maori is still something, it's in the blood. It is not a brand. The Lions was once in the blood. It is now. Whatever we think about it, it's a brand. It might be a great brand and one we all love, but the Lions is a brand. The Maori is not, and you will see that Saturday.
Did the Maori have no Land Rovers there?
A fleet of 14, the day after Donald Trump said, we don't have a problem with global warming. I thought it was a bit lacking in sensitivity.
Did they have Standard Life representation or Qantas?
No, but they did have AIG on their shirts. And as Liam Messam said,
sold out as well.
As Liam Messam said, we have the silver firm. He didn't say we'd have the AIG all over our belly. But, you know, they're the sort of junior partners to the All Blacks. And I give the Maori a little bit of credence here. And I found out today, doing a family tree, that I am, in fact, 1/8 Maori from the Tilbury tribe. I interviewed Milne Scudder and Damian McKenzie, both of whom are my height. I am purely Maori.
Right, Barnsley's gone to the Maoris now. There was a time when he was known as Di Barnes, the Welshman, the captain of Welsh secondary schools. He Judas'd off to England. Now
Bristol.
Now he's come to. Now he's a Maori. So, Barnsley, do us a favour. Don't do a hacker, whatever you do. Peter, a must win on Saturday, I should say, or is it important that some people come through?
Performance probably more important than win, but win still highly important. Given what happened. I think 12 years ago here, I think the value of beating the Crusaders, the actual victory as well as the performance, did lift the tour and lift everybody associated with the tour. A week out from a test match, a result can be very powerful in terms of the effect it can have on morale also. But we're looking at how they play primarily, and if they get a win, I think it would be very helpful.
Steve, I've toured New Zealand when the All Blacks are not the force they were now. And a lot of players thought you can't win in New Zealand. This team have won two World Cups. They've lost two games at home in 100 years. If the Lions lose on Saturday, deep down, hardly one of them will think they can win the series. They have to win this. If they lose this game, they've lost three out of the four meaningful matches. There is no possible way they could beat the All Blacks unless they win. Come hell or high water, it doesn't matter how. And I'm a great one, as Steve knows, for performance over results. This is only about result.
I think I agree there. So that's 2-1, O'Reilly outvoted there. It's very important to remember. Sorry, you come to your vote in a minute, but first of all, I'll ask you a much more important question. They're very important to remember there are other games coming on this week. There's Samoa versus New Zealand, also Wales against Tonga. Owen, Tonga are an emerging force. I just wondered if you'd spotted the great young Tongans coming through that we can look for on Saturday, on Friday evening.
This is normally the question that we pass on to our newcomer, isn't it? What about asking Pete about the newcomers in the Samoa team playing the All Blacks tomorrow night?
Yeah, there's some really powerful heavy-hitting tacklers in that Samoan team. You particularly need to look out for numbers 8, 10 and 12. Back to you, Steve.
Okay, I think that's covered it. You have to forgive us, listeners, because we're a little bit devoted to the Lions, but one man who's not, and he went to the Maori press conference today. So if you're listening back at home, please sign his expenses. Stuart, the Maoris, you rate their backs, not so much their forwards?
They've got an absolutely incredible back line. The Lions haven't come up against anything like that this tour, but they don't have a brilliant pack. The back three are fantastic. If Connor Murray and Johnny Sexton kick badly to James Lowe, to Milne Scudder, And who's the other bugger? Oh, it's Rico Ayani, the one who destroyed Jack Knowles' tour. Yeah, they kicked to those boys. There is problem. And then they've got McKenzie at fly half, Kerr Barlow, third choice All Black scrum half. It is an amazing back line, but there is hope because the pack don't look great. But there again, nor did the Highlanders pack.
Okay, now the other good news is that it's not Super Rugby tomorrow, but we've got Saturday, Jacko Paper, who does actually apply a few of the laws. Angus Gardner has given us pure Super Rugby. He gave the Highlanders a try, which a very, very famous referee from home told me that should never have been awarded. And the difference in the rules between Angus Gardner and the rest is unbelievable, especially when Angus tries to referee it from the touchline, as he has when he didn't have the whistle. Jacko Paper, is he one of ours or is he one of theirs, Peter?
Jacko Paper, not the most popular referee in Ireland, as I recall, but I think he'd probably be seen as being slightly more structured. And when obviously he's done a fair bit of super refereeing, but he would be seen as being a little bit more structured, I think.
And could you name the popular referees in Ireland?
The popular referee, well, John West, Owen Doyle, those guys. George Clancy as well. Yeah, I'm not going to get myself in trouble here. On to you, Owen.
We're going to have a prediction now. We're going to go around the table. I think the Lions must win, and I think that the imperatives are such that they will win. I think they've got to... None of this trying to play the Maoris at their own game. I think they've got to stuff them up front. I think Furlong is vitally important. I think the bench is important. And I think they will win by 12 points. We're now going back to Peter.
I think, yeah, the Lions to win by another 1970s scoreline, like the Crusaders game. I suppose I haven't even actually looked at a weather forecast for tomorrow or for Saturday.
It's okay.
Is it okay? Oh, well, that's probably not so good. Depending on the kicking performance of the Lions, then we're looking at a Lions victory by about 8 points.
Okay, we've got the weather forecast there from Bert Ford Barnes, but Owen, prediction, Maori's Lions.
I think the thing we have to remember here is the Maori, unlike all the super teams, have only been together for about a week, so they haven't spent 27 months perming their combinations and their hair. So on account of that, the Lions, this is a rare occasion where the Lions have had more time together than the team they're playing, so that'll be significant. I think the Maori have got quite a good back row as well, but I think the Lions should definitely win. I'd put it by 12 to 15.
The Lions work on their structure in order to have more structure. The Maoris work on structure to create space for the flair. As an eighth Maori, I've got a feeling there's going to be a massive shock again. And even though the Lions... Steve's right, by the way. The Lions' only way of winning is by keeping it tight and drilling them with kicks. I don't think they can kick accurately all day, and I think the Maori will fight back and they're going to win this in an epic game.
Thank you, the man who doesn't need a 3 or a 5 year qualification period to change nations. First of all, I should say hi to all the people that I've met in New Zealand who are listening to the Ruck. There's an incredible number of people who are down here following the whole tour, more than I've ever seen before. Thanks for everybody who've tweeted and texted me and the rest of us about the Ruck. Also, I understand that Jimmy McCavity, the Kiwi journalist, is also listening as well. Peter, you've not been here long to give us a highlight of your tour, but what would be the highlight of your several minutes in New Zealand?
Well, my experience at the ATM this morning, when I asked a local for the best breakfast house in the vicinity, and he asked me, "Are you with the English rugby team?" which says something about the Kiwis' general awareness of the Lions. Or the power of England and the England brand. So that rates very highly, obviously. But I'm hoping for some slightly more enjoyable moments in the weeks ahead, especially with you guys.
You've got to remember that New Zealand voted by a substantial margin to keep the Union flag on their flag. So they love the old country, really, unlike Bansy, who's now become a Maori. But Stuart, what's your favourite venue and what's the best time you've had on this tour that you can tell us about?
I thought Dunedin was spectacular. Forget about... We keep talking about what's the implications for Test match. We forget sometimes. We go to see games of rugby. And I just felt lucky to call the game for British television. I thought it was a sensational atmosphere, a wonderful game, and a lot of blokes who had no right to beat Lions were doing that. So that was a highlight for me. on the other side, I know I'm going to get ripped out of me, but seeing the Maori press conference today was a very moving experience. Listen, I'm Basque.
No, you're not. You're Maori.
I've been Basque. I've been all sorts of. I've used Welsh for a while, a little while. You know, I take the tribal minorities, and yeah, I'm with Maori. I'm with Maori. It was very moving, and the great thing about it was, apart from ARG, there was nothing to do with brand. It was really from the soul.
That's fair enough. Thank you, Waka Band. Owen, your highlight.
The moment before the Crusaders game, when the real Crusaders come in to the stadium. What I can't work out is if this is Kiwi irony or if they think it's just magnificent entertainment. But so for anyone who didn't see it, they are called the Crusaders, and these knights charge in on their horses with their big swords, and it's very dramatic, and it's quite hilarious as well. And I'm sitting there wondering if we're supposed to be laughing or applauding. But nevertheless, it's wonderful.
Was there an element of the Holy Grail Monty Python in it?
Well, we're dangerously close to Warren Gatlin with one arm being cut off, then another arm being cut off. I can still have you.
Do you not think that in this day of political correctness, that calling people crusaders in our multicultural world is offensive to some? I was concerned.
Well, that's fair enough, but Owen, that's the first day. That's the first time that irony in New Zealand has ever been used in the same sentence. When you're trying to be ironic with New Zealanders, you have to wear a red flashing light on your head so they realise it. Otherwise, they take you literally. That's about it from our studios in Rotorua. Lovely town. We're now going to discuss rugby amongst ourselves in a local hostelry where we'll be joined by Miles Harrison.
Yeah, we will.
It's a shame we couldn't bring him to you tonight, but he's too busy at home getting his beauty sleep. So from Rotorua, thanks for listening. We'll be back next Monday where we'll be wrapping up the Maori game. And from the Maori himself, Stuart Barnes, from Owen Slot, and from the recently arrived Peter O'Reilly and myself, thanks for listening to The Rut. God bless.
iOS helps you control which apps you share your exact location with. There's more to iPhone.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.